could have seen the Persian Empire at its greatest, she would have thought so greatly of it that her heart would have fainted within her. That's how splendorous the nation of the Medo-Persians was, especially at this particular time in its history, in which these 127 nations had been conquered and had been acclimated into the kingdom, that they did not even realize that they were captive, but now they were a part of this empire. And in this empire was a people that Nebuchadnezzar had brought to Babylon, known as the Israelites or the Hebrews. And they too was a part of this empire. And during this time, even the Israelites were subdued in their spirit. And there was not even rebellion against them, because the empire treated them as if though they was a normal people. Oh, praise God. Can I have an amen? Amen. And it was during this time that when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, and the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princesses of the province being before him. And he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days or 180 days or 6 months. They celebrated the riches and the splendor of this entire empire. Oh, praise God. You talk about a feast. There has never been a feast quite like this feast. Praise God. And then the scripture says that there came a time when that they had drank in abundance, that he called for his wife to come in, and he wanted to show his kingdom off to the people, and he wanted to show his wife off to the whole world. Oh, praise God. Vashti was the queen. And upon her head was the crown royal. Praise God. Many years ago, before the Ayatollah Khomeini captured Iran in the revolt and the Islamic revolt, the Shah of Iran was the king of Iran. And it was during his reign that he had a display of the crown jewels of Iran. Many of you may have read this from the Reader's Digest. Many of you may have visited the museums when they brought the Shah's jewels from Persia or from Iran to the United States. And he had one breastplate that had the crown jewels on it. And he had a crown that was one of the most expensive jewel crowns in the history of the world. And that was the crown that Vashti wore, because she was the wife of the king. Praise God. How did Vashti even become the wife of the king? And we find that she became queen the same way that Esther became the queen later on. Praise God. There was all the virgins of 127 conquered nations came to Shushan the palace. And they were given oils of purification and oils of sanctification. And they was kept for 1 year. And for 6 months, they was bathed in myrrh. And then the next 6 months, they was bathed in the sweet incense oils. And when the end of the year came, all the virgins came before a group of chamberlains, and a select group of them was chosen. And then they marched before the king, and the king selected his bride after a year of purification. And that was how Vashti became the queen, and how she had the crown put upon her head. Amen. Now, I'm just going to share something with you. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. We are without spot, we are without blemish, and we are without wrinkle. Praise God. When God decides to show something off to the world, all he has to show off is the bride of Christ and the crown jewels of his kingdom to the whole world. Praise God. You know why God wants to bless you? It's because he wants to show his bride off. And he doesn't want to show a hag off. He wants to show the most beautiful thing that he has ever created. Praise God. Now, I'm trying to preach a normal sermon, but the spirit of prophecy has come upon me again tonight. Praise God. God wants to bless his church. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that God is on your side? Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, within whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. He is not going to change his modus operandi. He wants to bless his people. Hallelujah. He's not going to put sickness on you. If you're sick, afflicted, or diseased, God did not give that to you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I feel like preaching, praise God. If you're afflicted, God didn't do that to you. He has an enemy that will try to destroy him. And that's why when I get sick, I don't mind standing and telling you that I pray against this sickness in the name of Jesus. I bind my enemy, praise God. I pray against my enemy. Bring upon my enemy confusion of faces, even as under the sun. Why? God wants to show his church off. He wants to bless his church. He's on your side. Can I have an amen? And God is going to bless this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Some have said that the king was somewhat inebriated, or he was a little bit drunk when he called for Vashti to show her off before all the kingdom. I don't believe that for one moment of time. I believe he knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted to let the 127 nations that he was the king over to know everything is all right. We have got money. We have got everything that we need. And we are a blessed people. Praise God. And yet Vashti refused to come out of her chamber and to be presented to the 127 nations. Praise God. In the purification process, not only was she purified from any blemish that was in her, but for 1 year she was taught how to be a queen. She knew what was expected of her. That's why the king put upon her the crown jewels of the entire kingdom. Amen. And when all the princes and the nobles and the important people of 127 nations were gathered there, he wanted the nations to know, we're not going down. Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Can I just share with you, this church is not going down. I feel the Holy Ghost. This church is not going under. This church is not going to bow to the world. Can I tell you, I don't care what goes on out there. I know what's going on in here. And that is the Lord is going to bless his people. And she refused to show off the splendor of the kingdom to the people that had a right to see. Be seated for just a moment. Why, after a year of being taught how to be a queen, did she become stubborn now? This is an amazing story, folks. I have wrestled with this over and over. When I read the history of how the king received his queen, He didn't put rags on and walk out in the marketplace and try to find a pretty girl to go to bed with. Whoever became his queen had to learn how to be queen. And she refused. After she was selected, after she went through that bitter year of education and purification, when the crown was placed on her head, when the breastplate and the jewels was put on her, not only was her natural beauty in all of this, but the beauty of the kingdom was upon her. You can imagine him selecting the most beautiful woman in 127 nations, but then to make her one bit higher than that by putting the crown jewels upon her. Can I have an amen? And through this process, these grueling hours, these days of sacrifice, the days of arduous studying and isolation. And now she started realizing, I may get to be queen. I may get to be queen. And she was taught every detail of the king's life. She had not seen him up until this point. But yet she was expected to fall in love with someone she had never seen just from studying every detail of his life. And when the crown was placed upon her head, all she had was just a glimpse of him, a few moments with him, and the crown was put on her head. And as she walked back to her chambers, ever so delicately, ever so princely-like, and she could feel the crown on her head, something happened to her. In the process of being married to the king, she fell in love, all right, but she fell in love with the crown and the jewels more than the king himself. Nobody knows what was in her heart. She coveted that crown and she coveted that position of queen, but she could never force herself to fall in love with the king himself. Praise God. Let me tell you something. When you are born again, he puts a crown on you. I'm telling you, he blesses you. He gives us healing. The Bible says by his stripes, we are healed. We are sanctified. We are cleansed. We are delivered. Can I have an amen? We get to come to the house of God. Our lives are changed. We're no longer drug addicts and alcoholics and sinners. And God starts blessing us. We don't have to drive an oil-leaking Ford anymore. God can bless us with automobiles and with houses and good things. We no longer have to rake and scrape for something to eat. But he gives us good things to eat. And the first thing you know, we fall in love with the house. And we fall in love with the car. And we fall in love with the clothes. And we fall in love with the restaurants, and we fall in love with all the things that he has given us. But we got to remember, those are only things. We've got to fall in love with him. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost spoke to me at the first of this year. He said, my people love what I do for them, but that's not what I want. I want them to fall in love with me. Amen. When the king requested that Vashti come, she has worn the crown so long, and it fits her head so perfect, and the breastplate of jewels has fit her so good, and she has looked in the mirror and not only saw her personal beauty, but has seen the beauty of the kingdom itself, that it went to her head. All of a sudden, she didn't fall in love with the king that gave, but she fell in love with the riches of the kingdom. She fell in love with the things of the kingdom. And she got lifted up in her own heart and felt like that she was too important to answer the beckoning of the king. Praise God. I've been pastoring for 28 years. I have seen God bring people out of the gutter. When I was in college, I was a soul winner, and I never will forget finding a man. He was a mechanic of sorts, and he was unemployed and lived in a housing project, had a wife and four children, and they were fighting like cats and dogs. They were sinners personified, and I don't know how I came across them, but I started talking to them about coming to church, that God would bless them, and I brought them to the house of God. I never will forget when they went to the altar, and they prayed through, and their children prayed through, and all of them got baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God started changing their life from that very moment. Praise God. The people in the church helped him, and he was able to get his automotive certificate that tells him he's a trained technician, and he got in with a company and got a wonderful job, and instead of making a hand-me-down money, he started making the best money of any mechanic in the area, and the first thing you know, they had a nice car, and I never will forget rejoicing with him when they was able to buy their first home, and they had overcome bankruptcy, and they was able to buy a home and get a mortgage, and God started blessing. Praise God. It was virtually unbelievable how much God started blessing this family. And they would sit right here on the second row on the right hand side, and when the song would start, they would praise the Lord and they would dance in the Holy Ghost, and they were the first one to come up and pray for people that needed healing, and first one to pray for people that needed the Holy Ghost, and got involved in Sunday school and in bus ministry. Praise God. And God just kept a blessing and kept a blessing and kept a blessing. Praise God. But there came a time when they fell in love with the blessings and they forgot the one they were supposed to love. They became important in the congregation. People that did not know where they came from would go to them for advice and go to him for a job because he became the boss and had men under him, and nobody knew where he came from. And that's all right. People don't know have to know where you came from. You cannot forget where God brought you from. You can't forget where he brought you from. You're not getting the point. Do you understand where God brought you from and what you were and where you were going? If we're going to have a breakthrough, we cannot forget where God brought us from. He got on the deacon board. Was a part of the governing body of the church. The preacher became his best friend. And the preacher started leaning on him. And let me tell you something. God knows every pastor needs people they can lean on. And when the preacher leans on you and depends on you, you better not let that go to your head. All he's doing is acknowledging that God has brought you a long way. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. And one day, the preacher asked the board for some advice, and this man was willing to give advice. After all, look where I've come from. Look what I've done. I picked my own self up by the bootstraps. It wasn't God doing it anymore. It was him doing it. Vashti, don't you know where you came from? You were so far down that God didn't even record the people you came from. You was only a little teenage virgin. And when they went out through all the 127 provinces to find a wife for the king, the law of the Medes and Persians said everybody had an opportunity to become the bride. Boy, y'all missed a good one on that one. The law of the Medes and Persians said every virgin in the provinces had a right to become the bride. Can I have an amen? Did the Lord tell you, whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely? She could have been the daughter of a peasant farmer in Timbuktu somewhere. She didn't come from the nobleman family. She didn't come from the wealth of the kingdom. She was just a young lady that was chosen by the seven men that rule the kingdom with the king. And she found favor in their sight, and they elevated her over and over again. But when the crown was put on her head, she forgot where she came from. Now, let me just share this with you. If you will not forget where God brought you from, you will never get bitter at what happens in life. Did you hear what I said? If you won't forget where God brought you from, His boundless love will overflow you to the nth degree. If you won't forget where He brought you from, the spirit of healing will abide in your home. Can I have an amen? If you won't forget where you came from, let me tell you something. God wants to bless you more than you can possibly imagine. The pastor took the advice of some of the other board members rather than this man's suggestion. And he became offended because the preacher did not take his counsel. And he started missing church. I asked him, I said, where was you at Sunday night? Well, I was there Sunday morning. That ought to be enough for the church. And I knew something was wrong. And he got where he started missing Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and maybe come once or twice a month to church. Where the church used to pay his house rent and put gas in his car and help him find jobs. He got where he paid big tithe to the church, big money to the church. And he quit paying his tithe to the house of the Lord. The preacher makes too much money. I've heard that so much that I'm sick. There is no way on this earth that you can pay this man what he's worth. You don't pay him for what he does. You pay him because of who he is. He got the place where he felt like he could never backslide. He was too important. And then one day, he quit coming to church altogether. And then one day, he lost his job. Then one day, him and his wife separated and got back together. And then one day, they got desperate. And they tried to sell their own children for dollars. All because he forgot where he came from. Can I have an amen? Amen. Let me tell you something. Vashti had it made, but she fell in love with the gold more than the giver of the gold. Can I have an amen? When you come to the house of God, you got to make it a lifestyle of praise. If you're only serving God because he healed you one time, someday you're going to get sick. And if you're only serving him because he can heal you and you don't get healed, you'll be out the door. Praise God. He does want you here just because he can heal you. He wants you here because he loves you. And he wants you to fall in love with him. Praise God. If you only love him because you have money in your pocket and you have money in the bank and you have an automobile and you have a home, what are you going to do when you lose those things? Because that's not what really counts. You can fall in love with those things, but you better fall in love with him that gives those things. Praise God. The key to a breakthrough in Alabama is we got to fall back in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can just remember where he brought you from. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's just lift our hands here for just a moment. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world. That's not the question of whether or not God loves you. Can we love him the way he deserves our love? Praise God. Can you reach up and take the crown off of your head for just a moment and look back where God brought you from? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who are you that God would look down and find you and send somebody to you and bring you to the house of God and show you the truth of his word, and you get baptized in the name of Jesus and he fill you with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. 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 Let me close. Let me close with this. My father was not in the church. My mother was a backslider from the time she was 16 years old. My dad in 1942 was clearing new ground with a crosscut saw and a double-bit axe. And as he fell a tree, it jacked and come across his back and crushed his back and his pelvis and his legs. And he laid in a full body cast in the Charity Hospital in Louisiana for 1 year. My mother and my father were sharecroppers. My mother never knew what a nice pair of shoes was. She picked the cotton, and when the last bale of cotton went in the trailer, she had my brother. She was pulling a child laying on a cotton sack, a 9-foot cotton sack, to the cotton fields with a bottle and was pregnant with another baby. My dad swore, I will never go back to the house of God. And from 1942, he never went back to church. I was born in 1949, and my mom and dad had 11 children, and we was not raised in the house of God. They never one time took us to the house of God. When I went to college and my first roommate said, praise the Lord, I looked at him and I thought, of all the people I could room with, I'm in the room with a nut. He spread a rug on the floor and got down every night and knelt on that rug and prayed. And it didn't bother me, him praying. But when he would call my name, every demon I had would rise up in me. I went to church with him one night to get him off my back. When I walked in that church, the Holy Ghost was waiting for me. I found myself in the altar, never intending to get saved, never intending to pray a prayer, and he saved me. I'm preaching in Birmingham, Alabama tonight. I'm preaching in one of the best churches in this whole state. And I ask myself, who in the world am I that God would let me preach in such a wonderful church? Why did God give me a wonderful church to pastor? Why has God blessed me with four beautiful children? Why has God blessed me with seven beautiful grandchildren? Why has God blessed me? Who am I that he would choose me? And when I get to looking where he brought me from and what I could have been, the Holy Ghost revealed to me a number of years ago that I was supposed to have died in the rice paddies of Vietnam. I was drafted. I was inducted into the Army. I went to Shreveport, Louisiana, to the induction center and took my physical. At that time, everybody was drafted, was sent to Tigerland, Fort Polk, Louisiana, and then straight to Vietnam. I passed the physical. I went in to see the doctor. He said, "Are you have any sicknesses?" And I said, "No, sir." "Are you afflicted?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Do you take any medication?" I said, "No, sir." Picked up that seal to get ready to stamp approved. He said, "Have you ever taken any medication?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "When I was a child, I had a convulsion one time, and the doctor gave me a pill and a prescription. I took two or three pills and never took it again." He said, "What kind of pill?" I said, "I don't have a clue." He said, "Can you describe that pill to me?" And I said, "Yes, sir. It was a little purple pill with a little white band around it." I said, "But I only took two or three of them." Reached up in his desk and brought out a medical book and turned over to all the drugs and said, "Is this the pill right here?" I said, "That looks like it." He said, "That's called Dilatin." And he stamped unfit for military service. I said, "No, this ain't fair." I said, "I'm not sick. Nothing wrong with me." I had a high fever and I had a convulsion, and the doctor didn't know what was wrong, so he gave me this prescription. I took two or three pills. He said, "Unfit for military service." I will never forget when the Vietnam War was over. They built the granite wall in Washington, D.C. And I told Brother Ron Libby, I said, "I want you to take me to the wall." And I went to that wall and I laid my hands on all the names on that wall. I looked so carefully for my name on that wall. I was supposed to have died in Vietnam. I'm not even supposed to be here. There was a couple standing there. They were old enough to be my mother and father. And they had their hands on a name. And I walked up to them and I said, "Is that your son?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "How old was he?" "He was 19. I said, "My name's supposed to be on that wall. And God spared me. I said, would you let me pray for you and your wife? And we held hands on that name, and I prayed for them. Why would I not want to love Jesus? Why would I want to let things be more important to me than Jesus? Why would I want to get involved with things that would cause me to be bitter and ugly? Vashti, why did you forget where you came from? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to lay aside everything right now. Help us to close our eyes and lift our hands and say, Lord, let me fall in love with you again. God wants to give you a breakthrough this year. He's blessed you to bring you to this place of a breakthrough. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody want to come and stand with me tonight and fall in love with him all over again? Don't be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How I love,
sir, he has blessed you. Even now, he is baptizing you with the spirit of soul winning. Hallelujah. Sing it, please. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him, folks. It's got to be a lifestyle with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How I love.
the Lord. If you would just turn to somebody, continue to pray and love the Lord. Lay your hands on one person near you. Knit that heart together. Blessing and goodness and increase and riches. Once more, can we just love him with all of our heart? Go ahead and give him a praise.
How I love
you. Oh, we magnify your name, Almighty God. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. We want to praise God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on our sister right here this evening. She's received the Holy Ghost. Talking in tongues. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Cornwell, I have no idea where you're going tomorrow. And it doesn't really matter to us. We're going to go with you and look forward to the Word of God. I appreciate so much the Word of God tonight. And we don't want to be a church full of people that are too good to come out when the King calls. We don't want to wear our salvation like it's something we did. And when God calls, my God, when it's time to worship, I'm going to come out. When it's time to pray, I'm coming out. I know the end of this story. That crown goes to somebody else. Paul said, don't you let somebody else steal your crown. My God, this is the story of Israel and the church. We don't want to be rejects in the history book of God. When it's time to knock a door, I want to be there. When it's time to pray a prayer of faith, I want to be there. When it's time to preach with the preacher, I want to be there. The King's calling. I said the King is calling. My God, what a word in the house. Praise God. You brethren that are right there around Brother Cornwell, lay your hands on him right now. Pray for him all over the house. Would you extend your faith, your prayer, strength to him right now? Bless that church, oh God. Bless that house, mighty God. Sister Cornwell and those kids, those grandkids. Let the blessing of God rain down on this brother. Let the strength of God come down on the work of his hands, word of his mouth. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. We want to give God praise and thanks. They've had nearly 100 get the Holy Ghost in the month of January in Wichita. Well, praise God. God's pouring out revival, pouring out favor. And I'm glad you didn't go to Vietnam and get shot. blown asunder. I'm glad you're in the house tonight. Praise God. Be sure to greet our visitors. Oh.